This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
If they don't lend, who will?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. This is the week we get another look at the big banks. Citigroup, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs all report second quarter earnings. Meanwhile, a big lender that's not as famous is in big trouble this morning. CIT Group is a 100-year-old financer of businesses. Hundreds of manufacturing firms borrow from them, hundreds of thousands of retailers, Dunkin' Donuts, Eddie Bauer, to name a couple. Now CIT is on the edge of bankruptcy. We're joined by Edward Hattis with the financial commentary website Breaking Views. Good morning.
Good morning.
The government must think that CIT is important. It's already given them $2 billion of TARP bailout money. So why isn't the government continuing to save them now?
Well, there's been a big question in government circles of just what counts as too big to fail. And it looks like the government is at least tempted to make CIT a test case for whether it is too big to fail. By today's standards, a balance sheet of, what, about $70 billion of loans doesn't seem like a big number. So looks like they might be willing to take their chances and see what happens to the financial system if this one topples over.
Well, they're not too big to fail if companies can just get their lending someplace else. But, you know, we've talked to some analysts who say a lot of banks don't want to lend to small businesses right now. They're too risky.
Overall, banks have been cutting back on risky loans. And CIT's customers, who tend to be fairly high risk, are pretty much exactly the kind of customers that don't look attractive in the middle of a recession or even towards the end of a recession.
So this is happening the same week as the big American banks are reporting earnings, and they're expected to come in okay, but they do a lot of trading. As far as lending, is CIT telling us it's not going well?
It certainly is not going well. CIT is towards the bottom end of risk. That is, they lend to fairly risky clients, and their losses, which continue to mount, is indicative of the very weak state of the U.S. economy, particularly in the small and mid-sized business sector.
Edward Hattis with the financial commentary website Breaking Views. Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, CIT Group shares are getting crushed this morning, down 20%. As for the rest of Wall Street, S&P 500 is up 0.5%. The NASDAQ up just barely. The Dow is up 0.5% at 44 points on the plus side, 8,190. Asian markets were down sharply today. European markets are up about 2%. Shares of the Swiss banking giant UBS are up like 3% this morning. The bank was supposed to face off in court today with American tax enforcers who want UBS to reveal some client names. But yesterday, the two sides asked to delay the trial while they try to reach a settlement. What's at stake? Well, here's Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll.
UBS already paid almost $800 million in fines, and it released the names of 250 clients to settle a U.S. criminal case back in February. The bank was accused of helping American clients evade taxes. Now the federal government wants the names of more than 50,000 account holders. Raymond Baker is director of Global Financial Integrity, a Washington think tank. He says if the U.S. prevails, the payoff could be substantial.
You can make a calculation of how much in taxes has been foregone, and that would be in the billions of dollars.
The Swiss government says it's illegal for the company to release the names. Michael Malloy is a law professor from the University of the Pacific. He says squealing also goes against Switzerland's financial fiber.
Bank secrecy for them is as much a fundamental right as, you know, Fourth Amendment protection from search and seizure would be here.
Switzerland may be known for chocolate and cheese, but secrecy is the real key to its economy. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
Frontier Airlines is in bankruptcy court this morning, hoping a judge will allow it to be bought by Republic Airways. Republic Air is quite a story. They just bought Midwest Airlines, and Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson says Republic could soon be the biggest airline you've barely heard of.
Republic is the airline you fly when you have, say, a Delta or United ticket, and you have to get from a small airport in a place like Grand Rapids or Savannah to a major hub like Atlanta or Chicago. Most people don't realize they're flying Republic, but get this.
In some quarters over the past couple of years, they've been the most profitable airline in the world, and they're generally in the top five or six.
That's Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly. He says the reason Republic is so profitable is because its business model is virtually risk-free. It doesn't pay for fuel, it doesn't pay for marketing, and it doesn't have to worry if its planes are full.
Of course, long-term, they want their mainline partners to be successful because that's the only way they'll continue to give them business. But on a short-term basis, they're just paid to fly those aircraft whenever and wherever the mainline airlines want them to fly.
That model works right now, but Kaplan says nothing lasts forever.
The airline industry is shrinking, and that's not good for anybody. And if you have less flying in general, you're going to have a little bit less of a need for regional flying.
Enter Republic's high-profile bids for Midwest and Frontier. Airline consultant George Hamlin says the industry is changing fast. If Republic doesn't want to get caught in a holding pattern, it has to diversify.
The little guy here is light on his feet, is solvent, and has the cash to do this.
More importantly, Hamlin says, not diversifying could be much riskier.
Just waiting to see what happens and, in effect, playing musical chairs and hoping that there's one to sit down, and when the music stops, that's a lot less strategic in my mind.
Republic would more than double in size with the acquisition of these airlines, but how easy will it be for David to become Goliath? Kaplan says it shouldn't be too hard, as long as Republic doesn't meddle too much in the operations of Frontier and Midwest.
There are regional airlines that have tried to raise their own profile, the equivalent of putting Republic on the side of an airplane and trying to sell those flights on their own, and the results have not been very good.
For now, Frontier and Midwest will keep their names, but the change may ruffle the feathers of some of Republic's current partners. The big carriers who made Republic what it is will now be in direct competition in some markets. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Both the S&P 500 and the Dow are up about 0.8%. The Dow is up 71 points at 8,218. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.